people. What do you mean exactly, Sayyid Abdullah, when we say that the position of the people is valued in a society or in Islam?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, beginning from the verse of the Quran, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ, that we have honored the son of man, or the son of Adam. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously, when he created his humans and he created the human beings, he wanted them to live a certain lifestyle and to abide by certain rules and certain regulation.
Yes.
These rules and these regulations obviously passed on by the prophets and maintained and guarded by the imams, by the divine appointed leaders by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we look at each other as people, our rights are set, right? I know my rights, you know your rights.
Yes.
Now, the problem is, as human beings in our kind of lifestyle, that if we left to ourselves, we usually break these laws.
Yes.
We do not abide by them.
Yes.
So from here, Islam came and said, okay, you need to have a system of government where there has to be a head and there has to be a body. And
yes,
the head would tell the body where to go.
Yes.
And then everything would go very well. So in the absence of an infallible, so now we need to have a leadership.
Yes.
Right. Now, the mistake that we make sometimes, we, as people, we want to lead or we want to live in a system as if it is governed by an infallible, mm-hmm, which is not going to happen. It's impossible.
Okay.
Right? Because unless you have an infallible imam, then everything goes smoothly. If there's no infallible imam, then things will not go smoothly.
Does it go smoothly? Because at the time of the infallibles, it did not go well.
No, because that's another topic for another day. Because did the infallibles lead? Did they establish a system or not?
At least at the time of Imam Ali for 5 years.
Even Imam Ali alayhi salam, he done what he could.
Okay.
But did he acclaim? Did the Prophet acclaim that they established a system?
Okay.
They didn't.
Uh-huh. You mean officially
only system
to claim,
that even Allah have promised is the time of the Imam.
ليطلوه
على الدين كله. When the time to Allah to reveal Islam to be the major religion,
yes,
with the head. So the only religion, that Islamic religion that will be established, is at the time of the Imam alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
Imam Mahdi alayhi salam.
Mahdi.
All the other Imams and even the Prophet himself, they never acclaimed that they've established a government.
Okay.
Now even Imam Rida alayhi salam, when he was offered,
yes,
he rejected because he said it's not time for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, so as people, we said, okay, sure, we don't have an imam, but we still need to maintain our affairs. We need,
yes,
to have a system that governs us.
That's right.
Now, so people came up with their own theories.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some had elections and they started this kind of
yes,
way. Some people went with tyrannic rulership,
yes,
where people is heresy, like,
yes,
parents and lead, and like the Abbasi dynasty, the Umayyad dynasty, the,
yes,
Uthmani dynasty, and now that we have the Saudi dynasty and we have all other dynasties.
Yes.
So father passes on to son.
That's all right.
Where these people take the rights of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Other people which assume they have this kind of option to choose, that delusion of choosing, I should say it, they also try to create a system, a government,
yes,
that's trying to control them and maintain them. Now, this is what we have currently. We have these two systems. Now, whether people get their rights, mm-hmm, or not,
yes,
that's a discussion.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, but before Islam, we have these Persian Roman empires all around the world with their own governing system. When Islam comes to the scene as a religion in order to correct some of the ideas in the Persian Roman Empire, but unfortunately after the demise of the Prophet, I think the system of the caliphate and ruling over the countries, all the other lands, you know, becomes very much like the Persian Empire ones.
Well, that's the
thing. I mean, the system of the governance.
See, that's the thing is, like,
yeah,
I said, human beings were programmed,
mm-hmm,
to live in their system.
Yes.
That's how Allah made them.
Okay.
That's why if you go back to history, whether you go to the Romans, the Babylonians, you,
yes,
go to whatever civilization you go to,
the Persians,
they had a system.
Yes.
Right? They always had a system because as human beings, we programmed to live under a system.
Yes.
We can't, Allah did not program us to live,
mm-hmm,
just like that everywhere.
Okay.
So we naturally want to have a system or,
yes,
create a system of,
yeah,
of our own. Now, whether the system abides by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh no, that's a different story.
Yeah.
Now, the Christians before us,
yeah,
they had the church was,
yeah,
governing,
yes,
everything. It,
yes,
was the governing body.
Yes.
But when the king, his
his own interests collided with the religion, with the church, he separated the church from politics.
That's all right.
And he's like, okay, now, politics is one thing, religion is another, you guys take a seat.
Okay.
When we came to Islam, Islam obviously brought that perfect system for people to live in harmony, but people themselves, obviously, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, they did not abide by the rule. Mm-hmm. They outcasted the rightful leader of humanity. That's and right. Islam became a matter of divide and conquer. Yes. So all the khalifs who came, their mission, their aim, their job was to expand the land and create wealth.
Yes.
That's why they went all the way to Spain and all the way
to
China.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything about the system itself. It wasn't anything about people or the right of the people. It was just about divide and conquer, making more land. So the point I was just trying to make before the Hajj speaks, that human beings... It's in our system to have a system or to live in a system.
Even as fitra and nature to be ruled.
Yeah.
By.
Exactly. Yeah. That's how Allah made it.
So, So these being ruled by, you know, by government or by the very kind of the people around, you know, it makes lots of difference, isn't it? Because at least there has to be a government.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Sayyid was true. Allah programmed human being from the very beginning, from the time that he actually sent Adam to the earth. Mm-hmm. Look, Allah never ever leaves human beings without a proof on the earth, a hujjah. So he completes the proof of himself on the scene of the earth. Look, when he sends Adam, he gives a program. This is the program that which is working for your society. Next comes to Nuh, then to Hud and Salih and other prophets. So in no time in the history you can find that there was no prophet of God on that time on the scene of the earth. Okay. So Allah give us. So theoretically, basics and fundamentals of a system has been already there. So to what extent, look, the prophets actually implemented these rules and these regulations, this is due to, actually, this can find itself in the company of the people with the prophets. Mm-hmm. For example, at the time of the prophet Nuh, for 1,000 years he preached, but only 100 or 110 people actually joined him. So this is not the problem with the Nuh. The same goes for the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. So it said that Imam Ali never claimed that he actually made a fully Islamic government, but he actually knew the fundamentals. He made theoretically, he actually built it. And
sorry, Brother Ali, a problem might come up over here that the system of the values, I mean, in terms of the religion of faith, is intact and immaculate. Okay, this is for sure. But the case is that if this immaculate system cannot be practiced at all by its true practitioners, so what would happen? And sorry, this is when the Nietzsche, you know, this German philosopher has come to the scene and said that that's why God is dead, because the value system that the church introduced could not answer the needs of the people, so God is dead. So now there is need for another system of the needs. So here comes democracy to the scene, this secularism to the scene, and somehow answering the needs of the contemporary human beings.
If we're talking from an Islamic perspective, I answer you by a Quranic verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna hadaynahu as-sabil, imma shakara imma kafura." Look, I have given you the way. I have showed you what the way is, what the system is. If you, out of your freedom, do not join it, do not actually obey it. So this is not the problem with the prophet who actually was preaching this and with the system which has been absolutely working well. But this is due to the freedom of the people that they did not select this one and selected the other one, the opposite one. So Allah gave us the system. Everything was there. Imams came and interpreted the system. Look, how are we going to actually approve the system that we are practicing in this country? From where have we taken all the exact details of the system? From the same teachings of the Prophet and the Imams. So nothing is outside of the circle that we are.
The teachings of Islam,
The teachings of Islam.
Okay.
Quran and Hadith. And actually, interpreters of Quran and Hadith are the Ahlul Bayt themselves. So whatever we have and whatever we define, which is 100% rational, and it's, no one can actually challenge any part of it. Even I'm not claiming that even in this country we are practicing all the aspects of it. But
we are far away from the ideals.
Theoretically, we have, theoretically, we have the principles, we have everything, we have the rules and regulations. But to what extent are we actually able to implement those rules, this is something that needs accompaniment of the people and the societies and nations.
But the world has changed, you know, compared with the past. The very nature and the fitra is the same, as you said, Sayyid Abdullah, and the Islamic system is over there running the whole world for the whole system up to the, you know, Day of Judgment. Mm-hmm. But the case is that now in the 21st century, it has its own necessities. I mean, the governing system, the system of election, the parliament, this and that. Do you believe that all the systems will get us away from the true path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then the change, the role of the people might be changed from a person who is giving legitimization to, we can't say, to the very nature or the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instead of him giving to some people instead?
See, the thing is, the more human beings deviate from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more they will find themselves in trouble. The more they find themselves in trouble, the more they would want to create a system that accompanies them.
Okay.
So what happens is they make a mistake, mm-hmm. and they're trying to make a system that accompanies and encompasses that mistake.
Yes.
And then that system fails, and they move on to another system. So you have, for example, communists, you have, you know,
capitalism.
The secularists, the capitalists. So you have so many systems. Why? Each system they come up with, it fails, they come up with another system, and which will fail. And they will keep failing, and that's just them being derailed from yes. this true path of Allah subhanahu yes. wa ta'ala. Where if they maintained and they stayed on the path that Allah has drawn for them and the system that Allah have put, it doesn't matter how further society become advanced. Doesn't matter how advanced we become, the laws are still the laws. They're not going to change. So what now? Before, back in the day, they had no cars, they had horses. Now we have cars. That should not change the system of how we should deal with one another.
Okay.
Before, they had no phones, now we have phones. Mm-hmm. That should not change. So it doesn't matter our advances, when we advance in terms of technology, in terms of lifestyle, that should have nothing to do with the system itself.
Yes.
But what happened is that now they're trying to say, okay, now we're advanced, we've got so much, so therefore we need a new system. Who said that? The only problem, you only need a new system because the system that you applied before failed. Now you created a new system, which will fail for sure. And then you're going to create a new system. That's why we have a hadith that says the Imam alayhi salam will not appear until humankind, they get to realize that we are going nowhere. We're stuck. We tried everything. Everything failed. Now we need a system that actually can maintain us. And then people will pray to Allah to send them a savior. That's when the imam comes. So now what we're doing is like we're covering up a mistake with another mistake.
Mm-hmm.
We just make creating a system upon a system, a failure okay. upon a failure. Why? Because we deviated. So like you said, the more we have our own system, the more we create our own system,
yes.
which, I mean, human beings are not infallible. We make mistakes.
Yes.
And since it's our own system, then definitely it's full of mistakes.
Okay.
And will not accommodate people. So
and
it's going to cause problems.
Our own interpretations, we're going to give the, I think, new look to the religion of Islam, isn't it?
For example, take distribution of wealth.
Yeah.
Right. So Islamically, we have a system of distributing wealth amongst people. Now, in a government system, whether it's a secular capitalist
yes.
or, I don't know, whatever, Marxist, whatever system it is. Now, so, for example, in Russia, they said, okay, you know what? Everyone works. Whatever you gather, you give it to the state. The state then gives you back what you only require.
Mm-hmm.
So we give you just to survive so you can give us back more. So
yes.
who's taking the wealth now? The state,
yes.
not the people.
Yes.
Where Islam, Islam has a taxation system, whether it's khums or zakah or
yes.
Giving the poor, and Islam divided the poor into categories,
yes.
divided people into categories, each get his right. So if you follow the Islamic system, everyone
mm-hmm.
should live equally,
yes.
getting the same amounts, the same rights, and everyone
okay.
shouldn't be poor. When you come to these systems where they say, okay, sometimes the state says, well,
yes.
oil, gas, everything is mine.
Mm-hmm.
I give you what you require. Now, here's a problem.
Mm.
Now, you're going to have a lot of corrupt people in power. Mm. People will take things for themselves. They would give less to people. They would distribute it. The distribution will not be even,
yes.
and you can have a lot of problems.
Okay. Thank you very much for today's discussion. It was really nice. Sayyid Abdullah Musa and Brother Ali, we are out of time for today's discussion.
Thanks.
We have to cut it over here. Thank you very much. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners of iRabi English Radio, for listening to this program. This is Weir Points. I'm Atal, the host of this program. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page, also YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you. Afi Amanullah.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
The Zionist regime's assault on Gaza has caused the tiny enclave's pharmacies to be in desperate need of medicines. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, Dr. Khaled Abu Habel has a 75-year-old patient with Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, and high blood pressure. Two of the most important medicines that she needs are completely unavailable in the Gaza Strip. Abu Habel said, at the same time, malnutrition and infections are taking their toll on her health. He added, people with chronic diseases are suffering more than anyone in this war. According to Abu Habel, there is an acute risk his patient and others will die because of the situation. He points to how a newborn baby died recently at Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital in Deir al-Balah, central Gaza, where Abu Habel works. If the hospital was better resourced and not working under such enormous strain, it should have been possible to save the baby. Abu Habel is extremely worried about the scarcity of antibiotics and other basic requirements for any hospital. With hunger on the rise, the hospital does not have vitamins and food supplements that are vital in treating malnutrition. Abu Habel said, the lack of medicines means more complications, and more complications mean more death. He added, it's horrific that we are unable to provide help. Unless medical supplies are allowed into the strip, we may see one of the worst health crises ever. Prices have skyrocketed of the few medicines that can still be found. A strip of paracetamol that would have cost 3 cents before the war now sells for approximately $3. Hazem Al-Ghirnavi is a pharmacist in Deir al-Balah. His store has barely any stocks. He said, pharmacies in Gaza are in desperate need of medicines. We need to treat people with chronic diseases. They constantly feel unwell living in such terrible circumstances without proper medicine. He added, it's the same for painkillers. The lack of painkillers impedes the work of doctors who are treating people with injuries. The number of people living in Deir al-Balah has increased massively due to evacuations from the northern Gaza, including Gaza City. The dreadful living conditions have led to an upsurge in infections, many contagious. Al-Gharnavi said, "It's not logical to isolate people with the aim of preventing a disease from spreading when more than 500,000 are taking shelter in Deir al-Balah. This pushes us to demand more medicines. It is the only solution. If the war continues, it will result in a sharp rise in amputations and deaths," he added. "This scene has been played out repeatedly in recent weeks. This is what Israel has done to us." Meanwhile, Middle East Monitor wrote, Gaza's health ministry recently reported the outbreak of meningitis and hepatitis among displaced Palestinians in the Gaza Strip is increasing. Anadolu agency reported. A ministry statement said several cases of meningitis and hepatitis were recorded due to the sewage overflow and the lack of clean water in refugee camps. He warned, "This threatens to cause a health catastrophe, especially among children." The ministry appealed to UN agencies and humanitarian organizations to urgently intervene to mitigate the health crisis. More than 34,200 Palestinians since October 7th have been murdered and 77,200 others injured amid a tight siege imposed by the child-killing regime of Israel, which left the entire population, especially residents of northern Gaza, on the average of starvation. More than 6 months into the Zionist regime's war, vast swathes of Gaza lay in ruins, pushing 85% of the enclave's population into internal displacement amid a crippling blockade of food, clean water, and medicine, according to the UN. The Zionist regime stands accused of genocide at the International Court of Justice, which in January issued an interim ruling that ordered it to stop genocidal acts and take measures to guarantee that humanitarian assistance is provided to civilians in Gaza.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah. Salamu alaikum, and may Allah's peace be upon all of you, dear friends. On today, Tuesday, you are listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio, and today is 21st of Shawwal, 1445 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Ordibehesht, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 30th of April 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As the ritual of this program, at first we listen to a verse from the Holy Quran and we learn about it more. For today, we choose chapter 34 of the Holy Quran, that is chapter Saba, Verse 6.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويرى الذين أوتوا العلم الذي أنزل إليك من ربك هو الحق ويهدي إلى صراط العزيز الحميد.
And those who have been given knowledge see that what is revealed to you from your Lord is the truth, and it guides to the path of the exalted in might, the praiseworthy.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Knowledge gives men insight and awareness. The sign of a real knowledge is to find out the legitimacy of the Quran and accepting it. In former verses, the words were about the unaware, blind-hearted persons who decisively denied the resurrection with those clear evidences and they try to belie the divine verses and to make others astray. In this connection, the verse under discussion, that is verse 6 of chapter 34, refers to scholars and knowledgeable men who pay to acknowledgement of the divine verses and encourage others to accept them.
رب صل رب سلم على طه المعلم نبع خير شمس حق من السماء You're the light of my eyes You're the answer to my cries You're the dawn that chased away my darkest night وإن لم أراك يا حبيبي عين روحي دوما تراك نور من الله كي يضيء لنا الحياة يا حبيب قلبي يا محمد يا إمام دربي يا أحمد يا شفيع ذنبي يا طه عليك صلى الله.
Dear brothers and sisters, as you know, in this series of today's special from IRIB English Radio, we look at the status of teachers from the Islamic point of view. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, introduced himself as a teacher. Islam lays so much stress on seeking knowledge and also on giving the respect to the ones whom imparted knowledge. The most respected and dignified profession in the world is teaching. Teachers are the architect of a nation. A teacher is a man of obedience and respect. Teachers can very easily decide what they want the nation to look like and educate the masses accordingly. They have the ability and the strength to fight the odds and make the nation powerful. They are the people behind the world's development. Teachers are not kings, but they know how to make kings. It's only a teacher who can transform a simple boy into the like of Plato, Aristotle, Einstein, Wordsworth, and many more.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum and welcome. This is Ali, your host, and we shall be talking about the value and position of teacher. The position of a teacher is highly and significantly valued in Islam, to the extent that the position of a teacher is compared to that of the prophets in the speeches of many religious leaders. The teacher's word opens the inner eye and increases the human insight and places the great values before his eyes. The teacher's effort stimulates the desires and directs the hearts and the growth of the students' understanding and awareness and makes them his servants. As the Prophet ﷺ said, I learned some words, so I became Allah's servant. and in the manifestation of the position of the teacher, Imam Sadr alayhi salam said, "All beings on earth, marine creatures and everything big and small on earth, the sky, seek the teacher's forgiveness and mercy." It was said that one of the celebrities has already said, "Why do you worship your teacher more than your father?" A person replied, "My father brought me from the kingdom to the earth, but my teacher raised me from the earth to the skies." A teacher is called great by the medium of Allah's grace in the kingdom of heaven. "I study knowledge and practice in the knowledge of Allah. I pray in the kingdom of heaven very greatly. If the teacher walks in the path of values and his work is divine, he actually raises spiritual children and he comes out of the sterility and benefits from them as long as the traces of his existence remain, without detracting from the reward of perpetrators for their work."
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
On the continuation of today's special, we learn one of the most important teaching strategies of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, and that was using illustrations and demonstrations. Prophet Muhammad used to make a point through illustrations and demonstrations for a better and easy understanding. Through this, he was also able to make it more striking and memorable. For example, Allah's Messenger said, "I and the one who looks after an orphan will be like this in paradise," showing his middle and index fingers and separating them. In the hadith, Prophet Muhammad accompanied his lesson on taking care of orphans through demonstrating his point. Through this way, Prophet made the lesson more memorable for his followers. And one inspiration to help us re-establish our intention as teachers, and that is this sentence: teachers are respected contributors to society. There are many kinds of teachers, most of whom are passing down beneficial knowledge to their students, whether spiritual or secular. When referring to those learned in religious knowledge, the Prophet said, "The scholars are the heirs of the prophets." This is because they are sharing and preserving the teachings of the prophets and the messenger of Allah. If you are a teacher and you are teaching things like life skills, science, math, history, or languages, you are fulfilling a communal obligation. You are preparing the youth to step into those crucial roles that will keep our community growing and thriving. For that, you deserve thanks and respect.
You know this narration, "Seek knowledge, go to China, you know, seek knowledge, Hatal Sheen," you know,
yes,
that narration?
Yes.
It's a beautiful narration,
yes.
And part of it means travel and go far away to alien, difficult, unknown places to,
yeah,
come back with knowledge.
Yes.
Prophet would beautify the pursuit of knowledge, not just the answers that were given. So many times the companions were told to go through certain experiences.
That's right.
Prophet could have easily told them, in that battle we're going to win that one, you're going to fight in that one. He could have told them easily what's going to happen. He has ilm al-ghayb, he could do it, no problem. But he wants them to go through the experience of acquiring knowledge, because that is tarbiyah for the soul.
Yes.
When he said go as far, he means go anywhere you need to gain knowledge. He once said that wisdom is the lost property of the believer. It belongs to you, but you don't have it right now. And so you getting it is not you gaining something new. You're reclaiming what was your right.
Yeah.
Imam Ali said the same thing in Nahj al-Balagha.
Correct.
Ilm, wisdom is the lost property of the believer. It is yours. It is yours by right.
Yeah.
So go and seek it. Go far away from it. And that's the feeling that was, you know, encouraged in the early years of Islam. Mm. Don't be rest and resigned on what you think you know. Go as far as you can to bring ilm back.
And it's what sometimes it's what you learn through those difficult journeys. You know, the end destination, you might not find that treasure, but it might be through that journey. I remember when he beautifully says, the most difficult journeys have the greatest rewards.
Ah.
So when you see that, when you go through struggles, you learn more. You know, you get to my ripe old age, and I could tell you I'm not a university student. You know, I came out of school, and that's it, education-wise. But I learned more through my life, through the difficulties and struggles. Because it's what you learn down here is what you'll gain when you're up here.
So true.
So, and it's those narrations, and it's knowing that God is always with you and showing you these signs and feeding you that knowledge. It's a being observant towards it continuously, having your blinkers off and understanding that every moment throughout the day you can gain knowledge and wisdom just by looking at the birds and the trees and the passing skies and the clouds and the water that's flowing. So Alhamdulillah, it's being open towards it.
He's speaking to Kamal bin Ziyad, Imam Ali alayhi salam. He's talking to him. He's saying to him, Kamal, what do you think is greater, knowledge or wealth, about this point that you're mentioning, right? About how you can look all around for knowledge. And he says to Kamal, look, if you said it's wealth, wealth is proportioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and given according to everyone's rights.
Yes.
Okay, your risk. But knowledge is on you to keep increasing no matter how much has been given towards you. If you say it's wealth, wealth fades and diminishes, but knowledge sustains and keeps you going. If you say wealth is something which it is in the nature of wealth to decrease, wealth is in the nature of ilm to increase. And then he says that line which you were saying reminded me, he points to his chest.
Yes.
And he goes, Kumay, look at me. Ha huna ilmun jama'a. Ilm is filled to the brim over here.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of today's special. We meet you soon. Fi amanillah.
Mustafa, anta an-nabiyul amin wa sayyidul mursalin rahmatan lil alamin jitta bil haqqil yaqin anta an-nabiyul amin سيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish. We'll be right back.
Iran's anti-ship missiles.
Part 4.
The land-to-land rockets next to the long-range arsenal are among weapons that the IRGC's naval forces have now to destroy the enemy's maritime targets in short distances near the coast, especially in areas surrounding the Hormuz Strait with a low width. When you can make rockets guided, or in better words, turn them into missiles, you can rain them down on large and moving vessels. In Iran, the rockets are known as the Fajr family. On the other hand, warships are almost defenseless in the face of ballistic missiles. Warships have been equipped to attack cruise-launched missiles. Moving towards ballistic confrontation with them can make things very complicated for them. That's the path China took. The engines of ballistic missiles, like cruise missiles, are always on. From a certain point onwards, even the engine is detached from the warhead and it makes tracking them very difficult. Finding a target in the Pacific Ocean is very hard. The ocean gives warships a huge maneuverability room. Therefore, China needs complete control over data. That's why China's installed thermal scanning from drones to satellites on the ocean. In order to stop warships from fleeing, the Chinese have also installed radars on their missiles. And the Americans have opted for thermal and jamming systems for that purpose to deceive the missiles. But as for Iran, considering its future wars, it needed a different type of weapons. It needed hypersonic missiles as well as missiles that can move like ballistic missiles, especially since in the Persian Gulf and surrounding coasts, the water is not that deep, so the warships cannot escape from the missiles' range. Therefore, it started designing a special type of anti-ship missiles in Iran based on the land-to-land Fateh 110 missile and even before the DF-21D Chinese missile. Iran equipped the new missile with a camera so it could manage the strike until the very last moment. The new missile was named the Persian Gulf. The news about the family of the Fateh stopped here until the news of the unveiling of the Makran forward base ship was announced. It was a commercial ship that had been militarized by the army. Once fueled up, the vessel can circumnavigate the globe 3 times and fulfill the needs of a military naval group. But when the Makran forward base ship set sail, the issues surrounding it became more interesting than the vessel itself. There were 2 containers on the Makran. There was only 1 possibility. The containers were the container launch type of the Fateh or Abu Mahdi missiles. It means the Makran was capable of launching long-range missiles. When the missiles are installed on large vessels, the range of precision strike missiles can reach the depth of oceans. Besides Iran, only Russia and China have executed the plan. Iran became the 3rd member of this club. On the other hand, what is unpredictable about Iran is the number of missiles and the systems that launch them. Iranian missiles can be launched from everything and everywhere, vans, trucks, ships, and even helicopters, so anything in Iran can be a launch pad for missiles. In early 2021, Iran unveiled several new products. One of them was a missile city of the IRGC's Navy. There were large numbers of various types of cruise missiles with various ranges along with their launching vehicles inside the cities. All of them were ready to launch. Several hundred missiles ready for launch was just in one of the tunnels and would provide Iran with horrifying power. Besides the missile power, Iran has the capability of spreading mines and collecting them. Besides sea mines, Iran sought to manufacture torpedoes as well. Torpedoes are weapons that are specifically used under the sea. Usually they are equipped with propellers to move under the sea. In 1991, Iran made a valuable submarine of Kilo class made by the former Soviet Union, was after making the main weapon, namely the torpedo. Iran was after more torpedoes with more advanced propellants. That was the time it was announced that the range of the Valfaj torpedoes had increased twice. It could be the harbinger of reaching them. The heavy Valfaj torpedoes are fired from the Kilo, the Qadir, and Fatih submarines. Their range and many other details about them are still confidential. But Iran achieved a special technology in making torpedoes as well. Torpedoes move fast. They move towards a target in the water. It's very hard to escape even from ordinary torpedoes. And now, even if the speed of the torpedo increases, it will definitely strike the target. Iran managed to make a torpedo that is solely possessed by Russia. In Iran, it is known as Hoot. It creates bubbles in front of itself in order to push back the pressure of water and reaches the unbelievable speed of 100 meters per second. Iran has proven its capability of surprise firing of the torpedo towards the enemy by getting the submarines towards USS vessels and filming them at close range. But we need to know that the Hoot is in fact a submarine rocket, because unlike ordinary torpedoes that use a propeller to move forward, the Hoot does that by its Russian engine and solid fuel. That's why while the conventional torpedoes can reach the speed of 25 meters per second, the Hoot and Shikval can reach a speed of 4 times faster. However, this is all just part of Iran's military power that's been announced to the media in drills. Iran's mastery over producing weapons has not been completely publicized yet.
این چیزی که انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allahu ya Allah subhanallah. Allahu ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allahu wa la ilaha illa Allah. Allahu ya Allah wallahu akbar.
July 12, 1983. Place Hosseiniya Jamaran, Tehran. The topic of this part is a strive to strengthen spirituality and repress carnality. We must strive to strengthen this spirituality and to crush this carnality as much as we can. If this is resolved, then everything will be resolved. The differences are based on this subject. No difference occurs in the world except that it originates from this. On the very first day, Satan said that, "Thou hast created me from fire and created him from mud. I am better than him.
I violated the command of Allah and told Allah that He was better, and this satanic inheritance is for all of us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله dear audience welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio In the subject of consequences of sins Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi said If you are dominated by the love of this world and love of the self and if this prevents you from perceiving truth and realities and prevents you from performing deeds purely for God and if you are kept from enjoying the truth and enjoying patience and you are thereby obstructed from the way to guidance then you will be lost. Well, here Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi is talking about the dangerous consequences of sins which lead into nothing but corruption. You know, sins are fatal poisons and lethal germs that spoil man and expose him to various sorts of dangers and perditions. The Holy Book of Quran provides horrible pictures concerning the inconveniences and dangers of the commitment of sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in His Holy Book, أَعْضُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ When we decide to destroy a town, we warn the rich ones therein who commit evil. Thus, it becomes deserving to destruction, and we destroy its very foundations. Surah Al-Isra, verse number 16.
يَا رَبَّنَا صَلِّ عَلَى طه النبي
صلى الله عليه
صل
يا رسول الله
يا ربنا صل على طه النبي وآله
أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام said Be wary of committing sins. The reason of any misfortune, shortage in earnings, or even a scratch, injury, or a wound is surely the commitment of a sin. The verse and this hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam warn us about the results of committing sins and refraining from repentance. The devil may seduce some people by the false idea that if sins had been fatal and destructive, they would have destroyed those who commit sins incessantly. While they are living in full luxury. To answer this false conception, we say that nothing at all can overcome God who does not anticipate the escape of anyone. He only respites the disobedience and postpones the penalties that are decided for them out of His care for their interests, expecting that they may recover their senses and turn to Him in repentance, or that He gives them respite out of His sympathy with the innocent and weak individuals whom may be injured by such punishments. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may respite those who commit sins so that they will increase in acting disobediently to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the opportunity to be able to pay close attention to the various educational programs and injunctions that Islam has blessed us with.
Every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Headlines this hour. Hamas is considering a new ceasefire proposal, saying that a permanent truce and full withdrawal of Israeli forces from Gaza are a must. Pressure on Israel's Netanyahu mounts as thousands rally again in Tel Aviv, urging him to make a deal with Hamas to get the captives freed. And pro-Palestine student protests continue to spread in U.S. universities. Francis Sorbonne University joins the students' campaign.